Hey everybody, it's Lacey.
And I'm Lauren.
And welcome to another episode of the Llamas Podcast.
And today we're going to continue on kind of our infamous women series. And we're digging into a little bit different. This isn't murder. This is more white collar crimes. And we're talking about, I'm guessing you know, Anna Delvey with her complete white collar fraud and all those embezzlement, all those type crimes today. But first, let's start off with a question. And I did not ask Lacey about this beforehand.
She usually gives me somewhat a heads up, but here we go again.
Well, this is nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but we did talk about it just a second ago.
Okay.
So what is your latest binge on Netflix that the whole world is talking about right now?
Oh, Lord, I'm shamed. Like when you said you were. So mine is Huntington Wives?
The Hunting Wives.
Hunting Wives, yeah.
And so mine too. And
yeah, it's raunchy, y'all.
It is raunchy, and I just thought we would talk about it for a second because all of you out there are talking about it, and I know a ton of you are ashamed you watched it because of how raunchy it is. But I guess in this
I turn it off when my husband walks in the room. Like, that's how raunchy it is. Like, I don't even want him to see me watch it. I mean, clearly I wait till the kids go to bed to put it on. But yeah, no, I even feel weird with my husband in the room watching. Like, I just got to be by myself. That's the level that show is. But
just
yeah.
Kind of from it, like, this is not any spoilers or anything, but like, the sheriff pretty much runs the show, and you don't see, like, the prosecutors are, like, really the first defense attorney that comes in is, like, garbage and that type stuff. But how realistic, I guess, for those of us who watch The Hunting Wives, and we see that really the prosecution's not involved in anything. The sheriff's making the judges on who they're going to arrest, who's going to go to trial, like, those type of things. Like, how realistic, and this is a small town, mind you, so like,
yeah,
thinking about this, I know Lacey's practiced in some very small towns, like our hometown and that type stuff. How realistic is it that the prosecution isn't involved at all, but it is like the sheriff that just controls everything?
Honestly, it's a better question for a prosecutor. This is what I can tell you, because I've never worked as a prosecutor. I do know I was in prelims one time a couple years ago. One of my friends was the prosecutor on call. So in every county, there's always a prosecutor on call. So that way, if there is an intense crime, like, you know, a shooting, like that was in this show, typically that prosecutor on call is going to be notified as to, you know, just looped into what's going on, just in case, like, they need search warrants or they need arrest warrants, they will be clued in. A couple years ago, like I said, I was in preliminary hearings. The on-call prosecutor got called to a crime scene, and she immediately had to go to that crime scene and be there for it. So I don't know, like, the extent that they would be involved, but I do know that someone will at least be called and notified and looped in. I would imagine our elected solicitor is going to be looped in if it is something extremely serious, of course, as to what's going on. I don't know how often they go to crime scenes right when they happen, though. But they would be the ones to ask the judge for those higher arrest warrants. But the officers can, too. But if they are, you know, curious if they have enough evidence and they don't know if they have enough evidence, then a lot of times they will go to a prosecutor. So I had what's called a pre-file recently. And that just means allegations were made against my client. The investigator collected the evidence, took it to a solicitor, and the solicitor determined there was not enough evidence to move forward on the case and to close it. And so my client wasn't arrested. So there is some involvement. It's not like the show where it's just like there's no lawyers everywhere. But how involved and how little they are involved is probably a better question for a prosecutor. And that might be somebody that we want to have on the show and kind of find out, you know, the extent to their involvement in these bigger crime investigations. I'd be curious to know.
Wait, realistically, though, like, we all know the prosecutor in higher level crimes, not in magistrate court, is different.
Right.
In higher level crimes, the prosecutor, the attorney, the solicitor is the one actually trying the case. So,
right. You
know, they're the one that has to deal with the evidence given by the cops and everything. And I just thought in this show, like, it's obviously a TV show, and we all know, like, medical shows are definitely dramatized. Like, Grey's Anatomy is probably not at all what it's like to work in a hospital. And I think it kind of shows, like, in anything legal, it's not exactly how it is in the real world on how, you know, this stuff, because I don't think the sheriff has the decision ultimately on if somebody's going to be arrested. You have to get the judge's decision. And usually in those type cases, you are going to have like a prosecutor to know if there's enough evidence to bring a crime involved. Right. So I guess it's not as rogue, I think, in the real world as what we saw on the show. But yeah. I just always like to break down, you know, TV shows. And for everybody watching it, it's an awesome show. Just be prepared for a ton of smut. But the storyline is awesome. And now I want to go read the book that it's based off of, because yeah. everybody says the book is better. So I'll read that and give y'all an update in a while. But now we're going to jump past into Anna Delvey. So I think one of the
I got a question real quick before we go in there. So my paralegal asked me, because they may, somebody listening may have this question too, I'll let you answer. What is white collar crime? You know, she didn't know what that was. So can you kind of explain the charges that are typically we see when somebody says white collar crime, what we mean when we say that?
So white collar crime is those crimes that are not, it's not like murder. It's more like the financial crimes, but not like burglary. It usually tends to be like fraud is typically one of the biggest white collar crimes, because or embezzlement, those type things, usually is some type of financial crime typically. And it's
they should call it green collar crime because it's money.
Yes. And it's usually, you see, there's a lot of times why they call it white collar is, you know, we have the difference between white collar and blue collar workers. Like, we all know that. But these usually come in like industries. A lot of times, you know, that's what you see, like that CEO of that big company getting arrested for is a white collar crime because he's embezzled, you know, $5 million from the company. It's typically not those crimes like, I'm not saying murder can't happen through a white collar crime,
right?
But typically we're going right to the financial crimes. And like, for instance, like one of those shows, you know, the white collar show that's on, came on years ago. That is actually, it's all about fraud, crime. I actually, so White Collar is technically based off of a real life story, as well as the movie Catch Me If You Can. I don't know if a lot of people saw that with Lee.
I didn't know that.
It's Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, I think, are the two main characters in Catch Me If You Can. But it was actually based off a real life person, and I have actually met him in real life.
Oh, wow.
He spoke, what's crazy is when I was a law clerk, he spoke at, so clerks and judges go to like a CLE that kind of covers the CLE for the year. It's like 2 days in Columbia typically. And he was one of like, he was the keynote speaker at that.
Yeah.
But what he did, like in his situation, he impersonated people to forge checks and that type of stuff. Like he would go in and say he was a pilot. And this was back a lot. This man is like 80 years old now.
Right.
So this was a different time, but he would go in and say he was a pilot, and he would have like forged a pilot's license and that type of stuff. And then he would end up, he did not fly the plane. Like he never like actually did any, like he impersonated being a doctor, not to operate on somebody, but to get their paychecks. So that's why it's like a white collar crime. It's like, it was mostly financial. But he ended up, which was why his stories kind of made it, in the movie and as well as in real life, he ended up switching to being an informant for the FBI because he could think how these people that do these type crimes think. It's kind of like the same thing as like cyber crimes and those type things kind of fall into this. But yeah, he ended up working. So like in the movie, he ends up working for Tom Hanks. Leo does. Yeah. Real life, that actually happened too. He said he was not as suave and stuff as like Leo was in the movies, but it was definitely a very interesting thing to hear from a real life experience that created white collar crime and how he then worked with the FBI because he could get into the minds, which you see that in murder cases and all that too, like serial killers will turn and work to solve serial killer cases. But
they don't let serial killers out of prison to do that. Like,
no, they stay in prison. Well, I feel like this man was not a threat to society.
Right. It depends on the level of crime at, you know, with when we see involvement in crimes that are not white collar, it's typically drugs. You know, using people to do CI buys, because they will know the language to use when trying to seek out whatever drug it is from the person they are trying to investigate. So that's when we typically see it. So, yeah, so that's white collar crime. And I didn't know that story, so that's really cool.
I say a lot of times people that commit white collar crimes that are like your high level CEOs and those type people, they go to different jails sometimes. There's different jails that people go to. And honestly, that's part of plea negotiations in some of these things is what jail am I going to go to? They're nicer jails, they're cushier jails. And if y'all watched The White Lotus, the third season that just came out, spoiler alert if you haven't, fast forward. But you know, that's what the whole dad, the dad from UN's,
right.
He went to Duke. Dad in the show went to Duke. Yeah. Pretty much they had committed fraud it seems like he didn't, but his business partner did, and he knew about it and didn't report it. And they were trying to call and make deals with him about, you know, ratting on this person to go against it and everything. But that was white collar crime. But you still go to jail for it. You may just go to a nicer jail. But typically they're not crimes that hurt people. It hurts you financially.
Right.
You're not like a risk to society as much in the sense of you're not out murdering.
A threat. Yeah, you're not a physical threat.
And so they do go to different jails. But that's the whole thing with Anna Delvey and kind of some of her stuff. She pretty much, there's an awesome Netflix show. It's not a documentary. It's like a drama show that went about her. But she pretty much committed fraud. That is all she did. She'd get a ton of money. She would go to banks and produce false documents, and they'd wire her funds as like a loan, and she never should have done it. And she would go and like stay at hotels or go to like jewelry stores, all these different things, and like say, well, why are you the funds, and like commit wire fraud. She would get the loan she shouldn't get. So everything she did was not like, she wasn't out killing people. She's not, you know, we're not worried about her doing those things. And so like with her, the government can charge her with fraud because of what she's done.
Did she do this for before getting caught?
Years. Like she did it for years. She had a fake name and all that stuff too. But also like she did it for years and she did not go to jail for hardly any time. She's been on house arrest. How she affords house arrest, I don't know. But literally, I don't think she was in prison for more than like a year.
And I also think, and this is from Lori, when she was talking about the Chrisleys. If it's in federal court, which I imagine this was, it like they have guidelines for sentencing, and a lot of it depends on the amount that was stolen as far as how much time they get. But I remember her saying when the Chrisleys were convicted, it goes by a lot of times the amount will have a big impact on the sentencing guidelines.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is the type of stuff, like, you're right, it's what a lot of famous people, like the Chrisleys are like the Real Housewife, like,
well, the Chrisleys were supposed to have gotten like 10 years, so I think it's just a lot more money they were accused of. Yeah.
But, and another thing about Anna Delvey, she's not a U.S. citizen. So she's actually, I don't know what's happening. I was Googling to see what's happening with her deportation. But she's still currently, I think so. Let me see. I can't remember. I know she's not a U.S. citizen.
That's interesting because I know we've always been told by immigration attorneys that any crime of dishonesty will get a client deported. And so if they are sentenced to any time, from my understanding, once they complete that sentence, then they are deported from the jail.
She's been house arrest in New York. So, I have heard where like people have been that aren't citizens have been deported for things that are minor crimes.
Shoplifting. We've had a client deported for shoplifting.
So she was sentenced to 4 to 12 years in prison and then fined $24,000, which is hardly nothing. And she's ordered to pay restitution to her victims. That was her sentencing. But realistically, I do not think she actually stayed in jail, but maybe a year. And she is out on house arrest. Mm-hmm. She's German. She was set to be deported, but she's actually never been deported from what I can tell. She is still living in New York on house arrest.
It's really frustrating on my end, just to be honest.
Think shows you how white collar crimes can be treated very differently than like your other crimes. And also I guess this is why I wanted to bring this up, and I want to know what your perspective on all this is. You are not supposed to make money from committing a crime.
Right. Like,
if O.J. Simpson wrote a memoir and he talked about committing the crime, and that's the only reason we bought that book, that money should not go to him. That money should go to like his victims. And his situation was really complicated on how his money was done.
Because I think you wrote like a book of If I Had Done It or something. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, go ahead.
But in here, so after all this, Anna Delvey, the only reason she's famous is because she is this heiress that she claimed to be an heiress that frauded everybody. That is her claim to fame. And yet she went on Dancing with the Stars. How is that okay? Like, I guess from like your perspective, is she not making money from her crime by going on? And she wore her freaking ankle monitor on Dancing with the Stars.
For me, it's not okay on multiple levels. So one, you're not a star, you know? So first off, I do like Dancing with the Stars. I think if you are famous because you have committed these crimes, you're not a star. And, you know, Karen Reed was found not guilty, you know, of murder. And I really don't think she did it, but I wouldn't even want to see her on Dancing with the Stars. Like she's famous because of that. She's not a celebrity. And for me, Anna Delvey is worse because she was convicted of these crimes. She is guilty of them. So for me, you're not a star. You're not a celebrity. Like O.J. Simpson is infamous, but he was like, yeah, and I wanted to, like, he was a celebrity. And so before this, O.J. Simpson was still well known. He was still a celebrity. So like, if he had been found not guilty, if he really didn't do it and he didn't end up in prison and he was on Dancing with the Stars, like, you know, whatever, if he did not murder his wife, you know, fine, because he was a celebrity before then. But that's not the case here. Like,
the Grizzlies go on Dancing with the Stars.
They were famous before. They were celebrities before.
Yeah.
Correct.
Their crimes did not, honestly, their crimes took away a little bit of their fame because they lost some money from like their shows and all that stuff. But they were truly famous celebrities. Right. So if Chris Chrisley went on Dancing with the Stars,
I wouldn't have an issue. Yeah. Because if they had just not gone to jail and proceeded with life as normal, it would have not shocked me to see them on that show, right? But Anna Delvey was only on that show because she was made famous by these crimes. So first off, that bothers me. And two, like, she's still serving her sentence, I'm assuming, because she's got this ankle monitor on. And I just don't think that is good public policy, I guess. I mean, you're giving her this money and giving her this exposure when she hasn't even finished serving her sentence. So that bothers me too. It really bothers me that she is still in this country when I have seen holds on my clients for magistrate level offenses that carry less than 30 days. And she had a sentence of 4 to 12 years and she's still in New York. That really bothers me. And you know, I'm just going to say it. I do believe it's because she's white and pretty.
And pretty. I mean, she's not beautiful, but she definitely holds.
She's white, pretty, and German. She's not brown and Hispanic. And I think somebody that was Hispanic and not Caucasian would have already been gone for those crimes. I truly believe that. I can't make sense of why she's still here with those crimes. And if there's an immigration attorney that's watching this episode and can explain it to us, please do. I'd love to know. If I'm wrong, please tell me that I'm wrong. But that just, from my knowledge of immigration law, that does not make sense to me. And I don't think it makes sense to public policy either. If you're going to deport somebody for shoplifting less than $2,000, how is she still here?
Well, and I think the hard part with her, yes, she's not.
And making money off fame for what she did.
It really kind of disappointed me. Disney and ABC did that by having her on there because,
yeah,
it was definitely a money grab by them because she left the first week. And I'm like, I feel like
really nobody wanted her there either.
Well, I think Disney had planned to have her go the first week. Like, I mean, you can say people call, vote in, all this stuff, but you know, deep down, they keep the people that make the money on the show. They mm-hmm. got her for the attention grab and then realized it wasn't a good thing because she's a terrible person and
right.
they got rid of her. And I think they really did it so people would tune into that first episode to see Anna Delvey out there with her ankle monitor. And it really bothered me that they did that. Like, I just felt,
yeah.
you know, if you'd had Johnny Depp on there, he had, like, I know he was, like, you know, going through all his civil stuff at the time. That would not have bothered me much for one that's civil. But
agreed.
Two, like, it was very much because they were playing off that fame that Netflix show definitely gave her. And I have heard where people have been divorced. So I was talking to somebody, and she said her husband is actually a green card holder. She's married to him. He's British.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He's working on getting his citizenship now, supposedly. I think he wants to. But she was telling me, like, she had heard that a woman got in trouble for something very minimum. Like, she'd went back to the Philippines, and then she was coming back here, and she was a green card holder, not a citizen, but she was married to a U.S. citizen. And she had issues and got detained because of, like, a traffic ticket. Mm-hmm. And something, not paying a speeding fine or something. Something very minimal
right.
in the scheme of things. But, yes, and then you see Anna Delvey, who is – and this woman was Filipino. She was of, you know, that descent. But I feel like Anna Delvey is because she's just pretty, I think, a lot. Yeah. Like, she's not, like, one of those people you look at and go gorgeous. But
right.
you see her, like, this well-put-together – pretty girl. And I feel like that plays a part in our justice system, because I feel like if you go in there looking like a hag, people aren't going to like you as much as if you go in there. And honestly, I think she holds herself very confidently, and I think that plays a part in it too. I think when you can walk into a room and, like, command a room, it definitely gives you an edge, which it shouldn't. Like, it just
but how with immigration, like, it's supposed to, that just blows my mind.
I don't know.
I didn't know she wasn't a U.S. citizen.
There is
so
like
that just blows my mind that
plea, and I don't know if part of this plea, like, dealt with that part of it. I don't know that, mm-hmm. but it doesn't seem fair if you can plead that you couldn't, that immigration will say we won't deport you, even though, you know, you stole
right.
millions of dollars from financial institutions and individuals.
I mean, Lauren, we have already discussed on this show where, you know, I asked if somebody should be deported with a pending criminal charge, you know, and that has happened. People have been deported for, you know, allegations of horrible crimes, and their victims never see closure. You know, they should have been, should have been consequences if that person were found guilty of the horrible crimes, and now they're not going to be because they were deported. Like, so this just doesn't even make sense. Like, you're going to deport somebody and not give a victim closure before even serving any kind of sentence. You just deport them instead, so they don't even serve any kind of time for what they did do. But what somebody did do and they're convicted of, and they're still here.
It is crazy how all that works. And I guess that kind of, I think, wraps us up, because I don't want to go into all of her crimes. Y'all know that. But I think, give us your thoughts. Like, direct yeah. message us. Like, send us an email. Let us know your thoughts on this, because how do you feel about her still being here and other people being deported for less serious things? Or how do you feel about her dancing with the stars when she made money off her crime? So,
yeah,
let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you on this. We may even stick a poll up on our Instagram or something mm-hmm. in the future. But definitely let us know.
And if you're an immigration attorney, please reach out. We'd love to do a follow-up episode. And maybe there's differences with immigration on the federal level and state. I only do state law, so, you know, clearly not competent on the federal level. So yeah, please reach out if this is a type of law that you do and you can help us make sense of all this. So all right, that wraps up this episode. I'm not sure who we're diving into next week. Me and Lauren will talk about it, and we'll let y'all know, and we will see y'all next Friday.
Bye.